To be. Today's text 15 and 16. The word meanings for 15. Divi in the heavenly region, Buvi on the earth, Cha and Rasayam in the subterranean sphere, Kaha, what, Striyaha, women, Tut by him, Durapaha, unobtainable, Kapata, deceptive, Ruchira, charming, Hasa, with smiles, Bru, of whose eyebrows, Vijrimpasya, the arching, Yaha, who, Syuhu, become, Charana, of the feet, Rajaha, the dust, Upaste, worships, Yasya, whose, Bhutihi, the goddess of fortune, the wife of Lord Narayan. Vayam, we, ka, hu, apicha, nevertheless. Kripanapakshe, for those who are wretched. He, indeed, uttama shloka. The Supreme Lord who is glorified by the most sublime prayers, shabdaha, the name. Now, these long verses, what I've found is that if you kind of break them up, at least in your mind, each line into two parts, makes it a little easier. So you'll see when as I sing it, after ka, after bru, after yasya, and after pakshe, there's a bit of a pause, at least a mental pause there. Divi buvi charasayam ka striyastad durapaha.
Divi buvi charasayam ka striyastad durapaha.
Kapata ruchiraha sabru vijrimphasya yasyu.
Kapata ruchiraha sabru vijrimphasya yasyu.
Charana raja upaste yasya bhutirvayam ka. Api chakripana pakshe yutama shloka shabdaha. Devi buvi charasayam ka striyasta durapa. Kapata ruchiraha sabru vrijim bhasya yasyu. Charana raja upaste yasya bhutirvayam ka. Api chakripana pakshe yutama shloka shabdaha. Divi bhuvi charasayam ka striyasta durapa. Kapata ruchiraha sabru vijimphasya yasyu. Charana raja upaste yasya bhutirvayam ka. Api chakripana pakshe yutama shloka shabdaha. Up Pita Kripana Pache Yutamashloka Shabda. Devi Bhuvi Charasayam Kastriya Sadurapa. Kapata Ruchiraha Sabru Vrimhasya Syu. Charanaraju Pastisya Bhutivayanka. Apija Kripana Pakshe Yutamaha Shloka Shabda. Ladies. Devi Bhuvi Charasayam Kastriya Sadurapa. Kapata Ruchira Sabru Vrijim Vasyasyu. Charanarajau Pastisya Bhutivayanka. Apijya Kripana Pakshe Yutamaha Shloka Shabda. Devi Bhuvi Charasayam Kastriya Sadurapa. Kapata Ruchira Sabru Vrijim Vasyasyu. Charanaraju Pastisya Bhutirvayamka. Api Chakripana Pakshe Yutamaha Shloka Shabda. Translation. In heaven, on earth, or in the subterranean sphere, what women are unavailable to him? He simply arches his eyebrows and smiles with deceptive charm, and they all become his. The Supreme Goddess herself worships the dust of his feet. So what is our position in comparison? But at least those who are wretched can chant his name, Uttama Shloka. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti states that Radharani's speech, expressing all the feelings of a disappointed lover, indicates an intensity of love for Sri Krishna surpassing even that of the goddess of fortune. While all the gopis are perfectly compatible with Sri Krishna in terms of their beauty, temperament, and so on, Srimati Radharani is especially so. In her forlorn state, Radharani indicates to Sri Krishna, "You are called Uttama Shloka because you are merciful to the wretched and fallen. But if you would be merciful to me, then you would actually deserve this exalted name." Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti further points out that in this verse, Srimati Radharani expresses her spite born of pride, accuses Krishna of being a cheater, and finds fault with his behavior. Thus, this verse contains speech known as Ujjalpa, as described in the following verse of the Ujjvala Nilamani, 14.188. Hare kuha kathakyanam garva garbhita yer shaya sasuyashchad tad akshipo dhirar ujjalpa iryate. The declaration of Lord Hari's duplicitous nature in a mood of spite born of pride, together with jealously spoken insults directed against him, has been termed Ujjalpa by the wise. Text 16. You can chant along if you'd like. Vishrijya shirasi padam vedmyaham chatu karer anunaya vidujasche bhetya daukir mukunda Svakrita iha visushta patya patyanya loka yasrijad akrito cetaha kimnu sandheyam asmin. Keep your head off my feet. She's, of course, Radharani speaking to the bumblebee here. Keep your head off my feet. I know what you're doing. You expertly learned diplomacy from Mukunda, and now you come as his messenger with flattering words. But he abandoned those who, for his sake alone, gave up their children, husbands, and all other relations. He's simply ungrateful. Why should I make up with him now? Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, this verse illustrates the qualities of Sanjalpa, as described by Srila Rupa Goswami in the following verse of his Ujjvala Nilamani, 14.190. Soluntaya gahanaya kayapyakshika mudraya tasyakrita yathadyuktihi sanjalpaha katito buddhai. The learned describe Sanjalpa is that speech which decries with deep irony and insulting gestures the beloved's ungratefulness and so on. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that the word adi and so on implies the perception in one's lover of hard-heartedness, of an inimical attitude, and of a complete lack of love. Omagyanati mirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya tukshuran militam mena tasmai shri gurave namaha. As Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is pointing out, Radharani is exhibiting all of the 10 symptoms of ecstasy, Mahabhava, called Chitra Jalpa. Chitra is defined variously different places as either amazing, various, wonderful, beautiful, or charming. And jalpa means talk or speech. So this is amazing, beautiful, wonderful, charming speech, chitra jalpa. And there are all these different divisions. I don't know if they were quoted in a previous purport. But Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are no equivalents. In other words, you can't just translate these into English, each one of these, very easily. Prajalpa, Ujjalpa, Sanjalpa, and so on, all these different jalpas, chitra jalpas. But they're defined by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Now, this is a subcategory of the ecstasies, one of the things the gopis do in their Mahabhava. When Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya kind of leads us up to this a couple of places, and he talks about these things. Lord Chaitanya, first in the chapter where he's just talking about the Atmarama verse to Sanatana Goswami. After he instructed Sanatana Goswami so many things, then Sanatana said, I heard you gave 61 explanations of the Atmarama verse. I'd like to hear that. So in the context of that, the Atmarama verse, Itam Bhuta Guno Hari, Atmaramas Chamunayo, that famous verse from the Bhagavatam, the essential purport of that verse is that even the transcendentalists who are liberated are attracted to topics of the Lord. Therefore, those topics are beyond this material world. They're transcendental. Krishna Katha is transcendental. That's why Shukadeva Goswami was attracted. That was a question, actually, of Shonaka Rishi. Shukadeva Goswami, who was already liberated, why did he take the time to study the whole Bhagavatam? Because he heard the Bhagavatam from his father. That was Suta Goswami's question. Pariksit Maharaj. That was Pariksit Maharaj, or Shonaka Rishi, getting all the names mixed up here. That was Shonaka Rishi's question to Suta Goswami. So Suta Goswami answers by quoting this Atmarama verse. In the last line, it says, Itam Bhuta Guno Hari. The verse, what is the Atmaramas Chamunayo Nigranta Apyurukrama Kurvanti Ahoitukim Bhaktim Ittam Bhuta Guno Hari. So here Lord Chaitanya is speaking about bhakti. Because what Lord Chaitanya does, he takes each one of the verses and he comments, each one of the words in the verse, and he comments something about bhakti to make the point, the purport of the verse, the overall purport of the verse. So when he gets to the word bhakti, then he says, Majjhalita 24:30, there are 10 meanings of the word bhakti. One is sadhana bhakti, execution of devotional service according to the regulative principles. And the other 9 are varieties of prema bhakti, ecstatic love of Godhead. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the 9 varieties of prema bhakti are rati, prema, sneha, mana, pranaya, raga, anuraga, bhava, and mahabhava, which he translates here as attraction. Rati is attraction, prema, love, sneha, affection, mana, adverse feelings. That's something we're hearing about right now. We're hearing examples of adverse feelings. Often this word mana is translated as jealous pride. Mana means pride. Amanida manadena kirtaniya sadahari. So radharana, or haughtiness, that's another translation of mana. So here Prabhupada translates it as adverse feelings. Pranaya is translated as intimacy. Raga as attachment. Anuraga as sub-attachment. Literally, anuraga means what follows raga, or you might say a subcategory of raga is anuraga. Then bhava and mahabhava. Bhava is translated as ecstatic love, and mahabhava, sublime ecstatic love. So those are the 9 kinds of prema bhakti, and then there's 1 kind of sadhana bhakti. So Prabhupada says, for the word sadhana bhakti, there is only 1 meaning, the execution of devotional service according to regulative principles. So Lord Chaitanya goes on, 2 verses later, the attraction to Krishna of devotees on the platform of neutrality increases up to love of Godhead, prema, and the attraction of devotees on the platform of servitorship increases to spontaneous attachment, raga. So prema on this list that I just went through, so these are increasing in intensity, you can say. So first rati, then prema. Prema is the second one. So neutrality goes up to prema, this is saying here. And then servitorship goes up to raga. So rati, prema, sneha, mana, pranaya, then raga. When I read this, I was surprised. I thought, mana? Mana and servitorship doesn't seem to. Because mana is what Radharani does when she's angry at Krishna. She chastises him. So maybe sometimes these words are used differently in different contexts. So that could be what's going on here. I'm not sure. Because raga is definitely also one of the subdivisions of mahabhava. So these things can get pretty technical. The next verse, devotees in Vrindavan who are friends of the Lord can increase their ecstatic love to the point of anuraga. So the friends go one step further than the servants. They go from raga to anuraga. Parental affectionate lovers, Krishna's father and mother, can increase their love of Godhead up to the end of anuraga. So the cowherd boys, they go up to just the beginning of anuraga, and the parents of Krishna, those in Vatsalya Rasa, they go to the end of anuraga, complete anuraga. In text 33, devotees in Vrindavan who are friends of the Lord can increase their ecstatic love. Oh, excuse me, that's the one I just read. 34, the gopis of Vrindavan who are attached to Krishna in conjugal love can increase their ecstatic love up to the point of mahabhava, the greatest ecstatic love. These are some of the glorious meanings of the word bhakti. So now, just as in the conversation with Ramananda Rai, we'll go even further than this. We think we've reached the top, mahabhava. Now we'll hear some information about mahabhava. Actually, here's first something in general. There are 2 divisions of each of the 5 mellows. Yoga, connection, and Viyoga, separation. So we're familiar with these words, separation and connection, being with Krishna, being separated from Krishna. So each of the five rasas has ecstasies, you can say, or love in these two categories. Among the mellows of friendship and parental affection, there are many divisions of connection and separation. Only in the conjugal mellow are there two ecstatic symptoms called rudha, advanced, and adhirudha, highly advanced. The advanced ecstasies are found among the queens of Dwarka, and the highly advanced ecstasies are found among the gopis. So now we're seeing some of the special qualities of the gopis' love. So they include this, rudha and adhirudha. Highly advanced ecstasy is divided into two categories. So this is further subdivided. The adhirudha is further subdivided into madana and mohana. Meeting together is called madana, and separation is called mohana. On the madana platform, there are kissing and many other symptoms, which are unlimited. In the mohana platform, there are two divisions, udgurna, unsteadiness, and chitrajalpa. So I was leading you up to this. This is how we get to chitrajalpa. This is what we're talking about right now. So just, we always saying this is very high. So this is an indication of how high it is. You start with prema, all these verses I read, then we get all the way up to here, chitrajalpa, which is one of the divisions of madana, which is separation, in adhirudha, the most intense love for Krishna. Ecstatic symptoms, actually they're called ecstatic symptoms, the most advanced ecstatic symptoms. So in that category, under the subcategory, mohana, which is separation, then you have this chitrajalpa. Now in a purport to this last verse that I just read, Srila Prabhupada directs us to another verse. He says, for more information, see Madhyalila 187. So this is Madhyalila 187. Just as Srimati Radharani talked inconsistently with a bumblebee in the presence of Uddhava, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his ecstasy talked crazily and inconsistently day and night. Purport, this unmada madness is not ordinary madness. We know some people, they think that Lord Chaitanya was just crazy because he had epilepsy or maybe he took a lot of drugs. Sometimes scholars, they have this. Even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's one place where, is it the Buddhists or somebody, they come across Lord Chaitanya in ecstasy and they think, oh, we think these people gave him the drug Datura. I was just reading about this drug, actually. People have been taking it for thousands of years. Many aboriginal tribes and so on. And even animals eat it. It makes them crazy. So, anyway, Datura. So sometimes people think Lord Chaitanya was just an ordinary crazy person who took drugs. So this is not unmada, as Prabhupada says here. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talked inconsistently, almost like a crazy fellow, he was in a transcendental ecstasy of love. In the highest transcendental ecstasy, there is a feeling of being enchanted in the presence of the enchanter. When the enchanter and the enchanted become separated, mohana, or bewilderment, occurs. When so bewildered due to separation, one becomes stunned, and at that time all the bodily symptoms of transcendental ecstasy are manifested. When they are manifested, one appears inconceivably crazy. Interesting phrase, inconceivably. I'm not sure if it means you can't figure out why they're crazy or they're just, whatever they're doing is just inconceivable. You can't even imagine. This is called transcendental madness. In this state, there is imaginative discourse and one experiences emotions like those of a madman. So this would probably be another translation of chitrajalpa, imaginative discourse. The madness of Srimati Radharani was explained to Krishna by Uddhava, who said, my dear Krishna, because of extreme feelings of separation from you, Srimati Radharani is sometimes making her bed in the groves of the forest, sometimes rebuking a bluish cloud, and sometimes wandering about in the dense darkness of the forest. Thus she has become like a crazy woman. So in another verse, actually the following verse, after what I was just reading before, in Lord Chaitanya, actually most of that list that I was reading, that progression that I was reading, was in Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami. Not the Atmarama verse, but the previous chapter, which is called, what is it called? Attainment of the highest goal or something. Love of Godhead, I forget what it's called exactly. Anyway, so that's the, and here's another verse from that chapter. Mad emotional talks include 10 divisions called Prajalpa and other names. An example of this is the 10 verses spoken by Srimati Radharani called the Song to the Bumblebee. So Srila Prabhupada's purport, imaginative mad talks, known as Chitrajalpa, can be divided into 10 categories. So this is the list again. Prajalpa, Parijalpa, Vijalpa, Udjalpa, Sanjalpa, Avajalpa, Abhijalpa, Ajalpa, Pratijalpa, and Sujalpa. There are no English equivalents for these different features of prajalpa, imaginative talk. So that today we had these two, Udjalpa and Sanjalpa. In the Jiva Dharma, of course, we had definitions of them from the Ujjwala Nilamani. But in Jiva Dharma also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he translates these, he gives definitions of them. Someone asks, what is Udjalpa? And Goswami replies, when with offended pride and feeling both jealousy and respect, the Nayika means the heroine, angrily slanders Krishna for his cheating ways in the art of love, it is known as Udjalpa. And then the devotee, Vijaya, asks, what is Sanjalpa? Goswami says, feeling deep resentment, the Nayika exposes Krishna's ungratefulness in love with many cryptic and humorous words of derision. This is called Sanjalpa. So, I know when I read these, I have to say, what was that again? In fact, we've already had, the word jealousy has come up in 3 or 4 of these definitions of these words. So there's a lot of jealousy involved here. But we know, of course, jealousy is a horrible thing in the material world. In fact, I was thinking how Radharani is speaking like people who hate God. They sometimes accuse God of these same kinds of things. But because, obviously, the inspiration is love, then, of course, if we blaspheme God, then there's no hope for us. And we're going to hell over and over again, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I cast them down into abominable species where they take repeated births. That verse for Krishna doesn't sound very friendly. So that's the result of speaking like Radharani speaking here. If we try to do it, we're going to be in trouble. But because it's about love, then it's completely different. I was thinking of a mundane example. I would probably sometimes say, this is a gross example. So, it's maybe a little bit of a risky example, but we find that we also do the same thing in social settings. If you're a member of the group, then you can use words that outsiders criticize you with, or you wouldn't accept it from somebody on the outside. For example, in the African-American community, among themselves, the young men sometimes use the N-word to talk to each other. But obviously, I couldn't go up to one of them and use it. And the gay community also, the homosexual community, they have their, you know, we call them some words that they don't like, but among themselves, they sometimes use these words. So why are they acceptable in one situation and not the other? Because that it's love. There's commonality there. They know, obviously, it's not coming from a position of hate or disdain. It's coming from a position of love and friendship and so on. So Srimati Radharani, she's saying these horrible things about Krishna, how he's a unresponsive lover. Look what she's saying here. Of course, this is, when you read it, you think, yeah, how could anybody be like Krishna is? Radharani gave up her family, her children. She's saying, I gave up my own children and my own husband and my friends. I just gave them up for you, and then you just left. It's unbelievable. How could you be so hard-hearted and cruel? So, of course, that's her ecstasy. And now, of course, Krishna would responding, he's thinking, oh, she loves me so much. Because that's actually what's going on here. She loves him so much. That's why she's speaking this way. And that comes up in the second of these here, the Sanjalpa, in the definition. It says, the learned describe Sanjalpa as that speech which decries with deep irony the insulting gestures and insulting gestures. Insulting gestures, I wonder what those are. The beloved's ungratefulness and so on. But this word irony is interesting. Because irony can mean several things. I was thinking, what would it mean here, irony? Because there's dramatic irony, but there's one definition of irony which means you just say the opposite of what you mean. This also sometimes goes on in friendship, in friendly situations. For example, somebody might call their friend, oh, you're just an idiot. But it's just done out of friendship, right? You idiot. But if somebody else calls you an idiot, you might get really upset. And when you're saying an idiot, you don't actually mean that. Or we say something sometimes, somebody does something stupid, and we say, well, that was really smart. We say smart, but we actually mean stupid, right? So that's what irony, that's one definition of irony, is that you're using words that mean exactly the opposite of what you're saying. So Srimati Radharani's words, she's saying, you know, Krishna, basically, I hate you, I can't stand you. You're so hard-hearted and cruel. But what she's really thinking is, Krishna has so many wonderful qualities, which we hear in other places, of course. She enumerates Krishna's wonderful qualities and how he's so attractive, and everything he does puts her in ecstasy. She can't stop thinking about him. She can't stop wanting him, desiring him. So she's actually, this is what she's saying, although she's saying completely the opposite. So we can understand in some ways, we can try to, even though this is so elevated, we have these different kinds of analogies, we can get some glimpse into what's going on. Of course, it's unlimitedly deep and unlimitedly complex. And it's, in some ways, it's unfair to put definitions on these things because you're limiting it. Only 10? Why only 10? There must be millions of them, unlimited. Just like Krishna has 64 qualities. What? Only 64? Huh? No. He has unlimited number of qualities, innumerable qualities. In fact, he has a particular quality which to attract each jiva. This is explained by the acharyas. Something special that he does to attract each one of us. Because each of us has a particular unique relationship with Krishna. And we're all unique individuals. So he shows something of himself to attract each one of us. So all of these ecstasies, we get a glimpse into them, some indication of what it's like, but it's endless, it's infinitely deep. We're trying to penetrate somewhat, just like space. We may even be proud, just like the scientists, they're a little proud, they can go to the moon. But what is the moon compared to space, the distance to the moon? It's like just dipping your toe into the water, the ocean. Think you've gone to the other side. I was swimming with my granddaughter lately, and I said, you know, there's land on the other side, too. Besides this shore, there's land on the other side. She said, really? Let's go. Let's swim there. I said, I'm afraid that's a little too far. So, in her mind, it was doable. So, but Krishna, of course, everything about Krishna, Krishna's rasa, Krishna is unlimited, so all of these things are also unlimited, infinite variety. But there's so much nectar in a drop. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's like it says, the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, one drop can drown the whole world. What to speak of oceans of it? The Vedic literature is giving us some indication of this ocean of nectar. And we're meant to relish these things. It's something I was thinking of lately. Sometimes it's said, we shouldn't try to enjoy Krishna. We should just try to serve Krishna. But we say, Sri Radhika Madhavayodapar Madhurya Lila Guna Rupanamnam Pratikshana Swadana Lolupasya Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Actually, it says the spiritual master is eager to taste the nectar of Radha Krishna Katha at every moment. Aswadana. We find this word swadu, swadu pade, to taste. So it's natural. We want to taste these things. Or if we don't, there's something wrong with us. So we should want to enter into the nectar of the Bhagavatam and feel an attraction to these things because it's endless. It never gets dry. It's always newer and newer and fresher and fresher. So let me just read through the translations again. In heaven, on earth, or in the subterranean sphere, what women are unavailable to him? He simply arches his eyebrows and smiles with deceptive charm, and they all become his. The Supreme Goddess herself worships the dust of his feet. So what is our position in comparison? But at least those who are wretched can chant his name, Uttama Shloka. Keep your head off my feet. I know what you're doing. You expertly learned diplomacy from Mukunda, and now you come as his messenger with flattering words. But he abandoned those who for his sake alone gave up their children, husbands, and all other relations. He's simply ungrateful. Why should I make up with him now? So, any questions or comments? Janmashtami Prabhu? Janmashtami's quick on the draw, so I can... He practices it in front of the mirror.
Good classroom. I believe it's in the beginning of the discussion of Bhava in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And Rupa Goswami describes Cheshta Rupa and service by endeavoring, and then Bhava Rupa, service with emotions. So I'm assuming that what's going on here is service with emotion.
Are you referring to a purport here or another purport?
This is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. I believe it's at the beginning of the discussion on Bhava.
Bhava, okay.
And so there's Cheshta Rupa and Bhava Rupa. And Cheshta Rupa is service, rendering service through endeavors. Whereas Bhava Rupa is rendering service with emotions, through emotions. And so I'm assuming that this is what is going on here. But I'm also, you know, when we speak of service, we're also thinking of giving pleasure to Krishna. So I guess we can assume that even though it seems, you know, the emotions are a little antagonistic, but the heart of Srimati Radharani is to please Krishna with these expressions and with these emotions.
Radharani can't act any other way. It's always about giving love to Krishna. Now we know that there was some discussion of Lila Shakti, how actually Krishna, Yoga Maya. So the devotee actually voluntarily comes under that for the sake of Krishna's Lila, and Krishna himself voluntarily enters into it. So it's almost like Krishna or Yoga Maya, I only want to make Krishna happy. So whatever you have to do to me to make that happen, I'll do it. So if it means criticizing him, talking like a crazy person, I'll surrender to that. Of course, it doesn't take surrender because it's done out of love. But at the foundation of it, this is, of course, the motive. Radharani is only, her only motive is to please Krishna. So yeah, and Krishna, of course, this pleases him, this mad ecstasy. Where did the let's go on the lady side. I think Manamati had her hand up first, and then we'll go to Lakshmi Moni. Where's the actually, why don't we have two of these, one on each side?
You're mentioning about mom you know, whether it's in the same connotation.
Oh, mana, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, one thing I was thinking about, the pastime about Rukmini, and how Krishna really wanted her to be in Man so that he could pacify her. And I hear Radha Govinda Maharaj says, hear him saying that how one of the biggest ecstasy for Krishna is to pacify Radharani when she's in Man. So it's something, I guess it's a certain rasa. It's not like he's insecure that if she gets upset with him. But so there's no that material thing. It's love, so he enjoys when she's in Man. So it's definitely a service.
So it seems like the word is used in different ways. Because Rukmini didn't display it, right?
But he wanted her.
He was trying to elicit it, but it didn't come out.
It didn't come out, yeah. But he wanted to, he enjoys doing that. He enjoys when she's in Man.
Yeah, what she said later about, yeah, I guess because she was disagreeing with him at least. At least she was disagreeing with him, yeah. Yeah, not like Satyabhama. She's a heavy one. Lakshmi Manipuri, you still have something? Or?
Insulting him, but also to the point of going to hell herself when she wanted to give him the dust of her feet for his headache, because, you know, wait, are you going to give you dust of your feet for his on his head? That's ridiculous. But she, you know, what's the problem? He has a headache. We got to get rid of it, and whatever it takes, that's what we're going to do. So that attitude is displayed in that leela also.
I get the impression that sometimes justifies whatever he does, going with other women and so, because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The letter sent with Uddhava to the gopis, he stated that in there, that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and so. Also, in the glories of Srimati Radharani, Sridhar was saying, he was telling Srimati Radharani that, you know, Mata, that Krishna can create thousands of sakis like you. Why are you so upset with him? You know, so sometimes I wonder, can you shed any light on this?
I'm not sure what the question is. The first one is Krishna justifies everything he does. That's because everything he does is justified. It's all coming from love only. He doesn't have any bad intentions. He doesn't have a bad bone in his boneless body. Only it's coming from love. Now, as far as what goes on between, was it Sridhama and Radharani? Well, it's all leela, obviously. We can't be judgmental. We can't even we're going to talk about Lord Brahma. He does something wrong. We're not even supposed to think badly about Brahma. I don't want to say even, because Brahma is also extremely exalted. But what to speak of the gopis and Srimati Radharani, whatever they do with each other or to each other, it's all about Krishna's leela. It's all about Krishna. All they do is enjoy. That's what we have to understand. That realm is only pleasure. And it's all only love, also. People say God is love. They have this idea, well, God is love. Well, in a sense, he is, because God is his qualities, simultaneously one and different. He's non-different from his qualities. But just as Prabhupada would say, we know that God is great, but we have to see how great he is. So we know that God is love. Well, let's see how he loves. That's what we're learning. You say God is love, but people say, but they don't really know what he's doing that's loving. Even the creation of this material world is born out of his love. That they struggle with like anything. They can't figure it out. They just accept it as inconceivable, maybe, those who are pious. That's okay. But we know why it's love, and we know Everything he does is only coming from love. So they are, similarly with his devotees, just like Sri Dham and we're here, was it Sri Dham, or I forget who the two were, Viraja and was it Sri Dhamma? Cursed each other, and you know, we have these leelas of cursing going on. So this is under Leela Shakti, obviously, ultimately for the pleasure of Krishna. Krishna is in the center of everything. So he enjoys, that's all he can do. He's made of enjoyment. He's made of pleasure. Anandamayo bhyasat. And we are also. So everything there is pleasure and love and happiness, what we all want. So if we see otherwise, but it looks, doesn't seem that way to us for some reason, some particular pastime, then it just means we're not understanding. But we have to have this basic idea, this basic perception. It's all for Krishna's pleasure, even whether I can understand it or not. And we hear it in a mood of respect. That's one thing we have to be very careful with. You know, it's so easy to see that this is just some ordinary thing going on here. But no. I mean, what we're getting a glimpse into, it's just amazing, actually. We're looking into Krishna's bedroom, you could say. Even in ordinary life, you don't look into somebody's bedroom. So we're actually looking into Krishna's bedroom, practically. It's so intimate what we're learning about God. And about God, we're learning such intimate details. So what right do we have? We actually have no adhikar, really, except by Prabhupada's mercy. Because we're coming, we're going in with Prabhupada. He's saying, there with us, there with me. Prabhupada can go anywhere. So he says, there with me. They can take part too. They can see this too. But we have to be so respectful. If you go to some sacred place, then you, just like in the deity room, as soon as you enter, you feel some sense, well, I can't go in here and just cut up jokes or be an idiot or what. No. So we have to be very respectful and careful. So that mood should be there when we study these advanced topics in the Srimad Bhagavatam. All right, we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.